Okay, timing's everything. Whether that is your golf swing, or if you're following a recipe, or even when it comes to your relationships or big decisions, timing matters. Timing is everything. Go too early, you might mess it up or miss out. Go too late, and we might spend some time with unwelcomed regret. We might think of moments this morning when you look back and you think, you know, that was me in the right place at the right time. Have you had those moments? So timing is everything. And this morning, very simply, we're going to see that Esther's timing is impeccable. In the face of risk to her life, real danger, and that of her people, she is remarkably composed and she takes her time. And when we think of time in the church, we always remember that it's God's time. All of it belongs to Him. Those are the big strokes of where we're heading this morning. Let's try and break that down a little bit. Esther's timing with the king is perfect. She doesn't go straight to the king. We heard last time we were in Esther that there's prayer and fasting first. There are 3 days of that. This scene opens on the back of the previous chapter. Do we remember this? Oh. Go gather all the Jews in Susa, fast for me, don't eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king. Do you remember that? That is good planning and pacing by Esther, but it's also her faith on show. She pauses. And she does that so that the Jews and she can fast before the Lord. The short version of that is she takes time to pray. Now, I've already encouraged you this morning to come and pray tomorrow evening. That's not so that we can pat ourselves on the back and say, hey, look, we've prayed. But because nothing happens in the church or in God's kingdom without prayer. There's an old saying I was brought up with in many a prayer meeting. It looks like this. We don't just pray for the work. The prayer is the work. We don't just pray for the work. The prayer is the work. So before we would get to the action of Esther in chapter 5, we're confronted by prayerful pausing. That is its own lesson this morning. And that prayer feeds the boldness we see in Esther's next move. She puts on her royal robe. She stands in the inner court in front of the king's hall, and the king's there on his throne facing her. What does that have to do with us? Well, let me keep talking about the prayer meeting tomorrow evening. We don't have to wait to pray. We don't have to wait to go to God, the real king, with our talk and our requests. I might say to you this morning, don't wait to pray. Come along. Join in. There's nothing to lose. Why wait? And I say that because we don't live in Esther's time. I say that because there's a safety in approaching God for Christian people. If there was a risk to Esther approaching Xerxes, there's none for those who pray in Jesus' name. Where Esther finds favor with her husband, the king, and is promised a good answer, let me show you that, we can be assured of the same. Look how secure that situation is. You and I are the same. Because look at these words. These are from Ephesians. In Him, Jesus, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. In other words, now is the time to go to God, the King, with freedom and confidence. That is the essence of the gospel we love and the gospel we have to preach to ourselves when we think about praying. I know a lot of people are nervous about praying. Their first reaction is fear and trepidation. Read that again. If you know and you love the Lord, you have to talk to him. We may approach God with freedom and confidence. In the encounter with Haman, we see more good timing. You and I might expect that if we were Esther, we would get straight to it. We would spring the trap. We would get Haman and we'd save the people. Get on with it. But she waits. Imagine, folks, the restraint it took to stand before the king and say this. Come to dinner. She bides her time. She doesn't lose her nerve. She also flatters her husband. Do you see that? If it pleases the king. She offers to celebrate him. Come have a banquet I have prepared for you. The last time Xerxes had a banquet, he had to throw it himself. Esther will throw this one for him. Now, I have two daughters who know this trick. And I would say there are a few wives out there who know it too, because it works, doesn't it? Don't pretend you don't know what I'm talking about, folks. It's part of the charm of the wife, isn't it? That she knows her man so well that she can turn him and coax him and nudge him and do what is right for him, even if he doesn't quite know it himself. You're still pretending you don't know what I'm talking about. It works. And it works here. We should know how it works here. Look at the way this is told to us. Look at what the king says. He buys it. Hook, line, and sinker. Bring Haman at once, the king said, so that we may do what Esther asks. It's actually a wee bit closer to this. Here's me trying to translate the Bible for you. Bring Haman at once came the word of the king, so that we may do the word of Esther. See how that's a little more forceful? I want you to look at that again for a second and spot who's really in charge. It's not the king. It's Esther. It's Esther. The word of Esther is the word to be obeyed here. And look at who has to obey it. Did you see that? Haman. So Esther will deal with her enemy, but at the right time. She does all of this again. There's another banquet scheduled for the king and for Haman. She is in charge of this situation, and she will take her time because God has put her there for this exact time and exact purpose. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes preachers save Jesus to the end. I'm going to take you there right now. Let me take you to Jesus. He has an exquisite sense of timing. He would come to us, his people. He would preach and teach and heal, and he would die at exactly the right time. We've heard this already, but take a moment with me in John 2. You'll know this story, wedding at Cana. The wine was gone. Jesus' mother said to him, they've no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour, my time has not yet come. See that? You see the perfect timing of the Son of God? Because Paul did. Paul wrote this. We've heard this morning already. At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Timing. Perfect timing. The one for the many. Folks, believe that this morning. Don't go off and think about it. Believe it. Believe it and rejoice that your days, your times are in his hands. Haman has terrible timing. Are you still with me? Haman's rubbish. He's got terrible timing, and the result of his terrible timing is the ups and downs. This fella is all over the place. He hits the highs of Esther's invite to the banquet. And then immediately he hits the rock bottom low when he sees Mordecai filled with rage. And then he lurches the other way again. He goes home for a good old boast. Did we notice that in the reading? Look at all my stuff and all my sons. And by the way, I'm the only one the king's invited to a banquet. Boast, boast, boast. But then, and this pulled us up short, you get this line. But all of this gives me no satisfaction as long as I see that Jew, Mordecai, sitting at the king's gate. What is this? What's going on here? Well, it's pride. It's self-obsession. It's the hatred of the other. You can hear that in the way he says, that Jew. And that's why Haman is all over the place. Where Esther is faithful and slow and confident, Haman will flinch at any slight to his ego. He's so fragile. Where Esther is willing to risk her life for others, Haman is all about Haman. And do you know what? He's a real rat. I think I can say that. He is a rat. He seeks the honor of himself on the ashes of Mordecai's dishonor. Look at the quick turnaround suggested by his wife. Now, pole might be gallows. Maybe you think of it as a gallows. Have a gallows or a pole set up reaching to a height of 50 cubits. Ask the king in the morning to have Mordecai impaled or hanged on it. Then go with the king to the banquet and enjoy yourself. That's a great Friday night, isn't it? A hanging, then dinner. Just murder him and then go and enjoy yourself. That's horrific. But if we thought for long enough, we might think, well, look, Haman's just sorting this out. You know, he'll deal with the problem and then everything will be all right. Except if you and I have lived any length of time at all, you know that problems are usually followed by other problems, aren't they? There's always something. Haman will not be able to escape his real problem. It's himself. Haman cannot escape Haman. And did we notice how easily influenced he is by his wife? Unlike the gentle influence of Esther and the king, you get a very forceful influence from Zeresh. He's still all over the place. He could not be less like Esther. And we should remember that Esther has summoned him to this banquet. Esther, a Jew, has power over him. And Haman is in no position to say no. Because Esther can wait. In other words, she can trust. Haman can't wait. He has no one to trust but himself. You know, maybe you're thinking, what do we do with this? Well, maybe just for a second we sit here and we appreciate how timing really is everything. I know 4 points gives us nightmares. Have a deep breath. We're nearly there. Maybe we see as well, folks, how God's timing is everything. That's the sentence we need. That shouldn't surprise us. If Esther is aware of the right time, if Jesus is aware of the right time, it's because they know it's God's time. You'll know Ecclesiastes 3 is the Bible's famous poem on time. There's a time for everything. But if we look at the title of that poem, we see this truth. It's God's time. There's a time for everything under the heavens, under God. And as we go home today and have our lunch and think about Esther and her banquets, her willingness to do the right thing at the right time, as we think of Jesus and the meals he shared and the death he would die at just the right time, we appreciate how this poem ends as well. How do you live differently on the back of today, on the back of Esther 5, all about timing? By remembering that God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has set eternity in the human heart. No one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So I know there's nothing better for people and to be happy and do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. Remember Haman? I find no satisfaction. He was there before the rolling stones. God says different. Dude, that is the hardest thing in the world to live. Because if you're like me at all, you worry, don't you? Full of worries, full of concerns. What is the world going to be like next week, next year? That's where we find our safe harbor, in God's perfect timing. Let's pray about that. Father, our times are truly in your hands. So take us in hand. Give us your timing and your will. Give us some of your wisdom for our lives and the lives of others. Father, whose time is it today or this week to hear of the Lord Jesus? We wait for your answer in Jesus' name and in his perfect timing. Amen.